From Albuquerque this week, I'm Joey Peters.
And I'm Matthew Reichbach.
It's the Weekly Word.
We're here this week to talk about beer.
The deregulation of beer, also the what are some of the better beers in the New Mexico?
Yeah, and I had an interview with Chris Jackson from nmdarksidebrewcrew.com, and he talked about some of the better beers here in New Mexico. He weighed in on the Santa Fe Reporter's poll on what's the best beer in the state.
And then later on, I'll talk about the tax breaks to the industry and whether that's a good idea or not.
So stick around for this mega-sized beer edition of the Weekly Word. And we're back, and right now we have Chris Jackson. He's with New Mexico Dark Side Brew Crew, and also he's a beat writer for Albuquerque Isotopes, but I think we'll save that for the next appearance.
All right.
And how are you doing today, Chris?
Doing all right. It's a windy allergy day, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's part in the nasal.
Spring in New Mexico.
Yep.
But we wanted to get you on because I read your guys' blog, New Mexico Dark Side Brew Crew, and next week is Beer Week, right?
Yes, Albuquerque Beer Week 2013.
And so, well, first, what is the blog? What's New Mexico Dark Side Brew Crew?
Well, the origin of the blog was my friends and I, we used to hang out at breweries a lot of the time, and we would be sitting there drinking, and we'd talk about the beers we're drinking to each other. And one guy in our group goes, why don't we start writing it down? And so, basically, we started to conceive of, you know, some kind of beer review blog. We felt there was a gap in the beer scene ever since Albuquerque Beer Geek actually started working at Marble. He kind of went away from reviewing local beer and was pretty much just reviewing beer from, you know, that you could buy at Jubilation or Quarters or Kelly's. And so we decided, you know, let's fill that void. Let's go back to editing, and writing about, you know, the local breweries and the beer scene here in town, which is exploding right now.
Yeah, how many breweries are there in town?
It depends how you define it. In terms of people actually brewing beer in this town, there are now, and counting Rio Rancho, even though it doesn't like to be counted as part of Albuquerque, I would say there's 1, 2, 3. Sorry, I'm trying to think of this off the top of my head. There's at least a dozen.
At least a dozen, yeah. I know that Marble's pretty close to here where we go.
Yeah,
Il Vicino is just up the street, and pretty much everywhere in town. And then also, like in Santa Fe, because we have a lot of Santa Fe listeners, there's a couple of breweries up there as well.
Yeah, Santa Fe Brewing, of course, is the big production brewery. Second Street is sort of the Brew Crew's favorite hangout up there. The original location, the rail yard location's fine. It just doesn't have that. There's an ambiance, so that's just that chill patio at Second Street that we all love. And then there's Blue Corn, and sooner or later, Duel Brewing will be open, and had a chance to sample a couple of their beers at Winter Brew in Santa Fe, and that be prepared to call that one friend who owes you a favor and get them to drive you, because after two beers at Dual Brewing, you will be happy.
that's up there in Santa Fe, or is that?
Yeah, it's Santa Fe. It's a new one that'll be opening in Santa Fe pretty soon.
Oh, good. We can take the train down, and
yeah, that is definitely a train ride place. So.
And so I guess the question you always get asked is, what's your favorite kind of beer?
Well, my nickname on the blog is Stoutmeister.
Oh, so I guess it doesn't take much investigation to do that.
No, it's not hard to figure out.
Even CNN can get that one right.
Well, no, they would probably somehow still come up saying I actually like porters better, and they'd probably screw that up. But, yeah, we actually came up with I said the final thing we needed for the blog when we were setting it up was the name. And I was sitting in a friend's backyard on New Year's, and it was very late at night, so about 2 or 3 in the morning, and we were at the point where there are two of us left standing or sitting, and I was drinking straight out of the growler at this point. And I looked into the night sky, and I just was like, Dark Side Brew Crew. And I just the name just hit me then. We tacked New Mexico onto the front to kind of establish ourselves as, you know, as being local and everything. And then we got everything set up. John, who goes by Shilling on the blog, he was kind of our main guy in terms of the physical setup of the website and
doing all the hard work.
Yeah, he did all that work, and then it was just sort of like, how do we, you know, we started with five guys, we've got six now. It's sort of like, how do we divide things up? And you know, I'm the one with probably the most free time on my hands, so I tend to write the most. Eric, who goes by E-Rock on the blog, he's one of our resident musicians. He does the Week Ahead in Beer, which is a very popular feature we have every Monday that'll tell you all the local beers in, you know, the new seasonals that are on tap.
Yeah, because they don't necessarily have the same beers all the time. They'll
Some places have a larger collection of, you know, house beers or what you'd call just sort of the standard beers on tap, the regulars, and other breweries really kind of cycle through them. It depends on brewery size too. And then are they a production brewery like Marble and La Cumbre now? You know, you go to El Vicino though, and pretty much you can go there once a week and you'll get a different beer every time you're there.
Because they don't do bottled beer.
They don't do bottled beer. They do a lot of beer for their restaurants, you know, here and in Colorado, but they are able to, still just find a lot of time to get kind of experimental there. And certainly if anyone follows Il Vicino on Facebook and you've seen some of their posts and a lot of these pictures, you know, these little slideshows they'll do, they have a ridiculous amount of fun with beer. You know, they're probably the goofiest, silliest brewery staff in terms of the people working in the back. In terms of the people working out front, you know, the people who are serving you the beer, we generally regard the staff over at Tractor, at the tap room on Central, as probably the friendliest bunch. It doesn't hurt that a lot of them have been there since they opened, and we've all been there enough to the point where they know us by first name, we know them by first name.
They have your stout ready for you when you sit down.
In general, they usually ask me, like, stout, or do you want to try one of the seasonals? That's usually what I get asked when I get in there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen the Santa Fe Reporter, what they're doing. They have their little bracket challenge.
Yeah, we did see that.
A month late. So here's the final four, so I got to get your choice.
Okay.
We have a Marble IPA versus Second Street IPA.
I'm just not a huge IPA drinker. in that regard, though, I would probably pick Second Street's.
Second Street's, yeah. I haven't had that one yet. I had marbles last night.
Yeah.
But, and then the second one is Santa Fe Pale Ale versus Alien Amber.
Alien Amber may have the coolest logo of any beer in the state, but I'd take Santa Fe's Pale Ale. I think it's really one of the best Pale Ales I've ever had, actually.
Yeah, I think I'd go with the same because I'm not a fan of amber beers at all.
Amber beers, they're all over the place. You know, they can either, most of them are way too mild.
Well, they're just too sweet for me.
They're too sweet, yeah.
Just like my stomach just is like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Okay, be very careful then if you ever go to Duel, because they're basically brewing in the Belgian tradition. So that's a lot of sweet high alcohol beers. So if you don't like sweet beers, be careful. But you can go get a Belgian Dark Strong, and that'll be
a
little better, but it'll still kick you in the head.
And so if somebody was coming from out of town, mm-hmm. they said, hey, you know, I have time to hit one brewery.
Ooh.
Just one. Which one in Albuquerque should they hit?
Oh, the main thing I would ask them at that point is, are you a hophead or not? If you're a hophead, I'd probably send you to either Marble or La Cumbre. If you're not a hophead, I would probably send you to Il Vicino. Mostly because I think, in particular, you know, you look at Marble's two standard bearers, their IPA and their red, both hoppy. And La Cumbre, you know, elevated IPA is their standard. And in general, a lot of their seasonals tend to be really hoppy, too. So I would say, you know, hoppy, you like hops, you like a strong hop flavor in your beer, go to Marble or La Cumbre. If you're interested in just a huge variety of beer, maybe maltier beer, then I think you can go to Il Vicino. You can still get hops there, obviously, with Exodus IPA, which is the 4 or 5 times straight champion of the IPA Challenge. You can still get your hops there if you need it, but it depends. There are no two people on planet Earth. I don't care what anybody says. There are no two people on planet Earth that will agree. If you put 10 beers in front of them,
which ones are the best?
Right. They may like 9 of them, but there will be one each that they totally disagree on.
And then really you can't go wrong with most of the breweries here. You just sit down and have a drink.
No.
Like you said, like Tractor has the great, has the staff and
yeah.
the ambiance. It's always packed. Mm. And then like Marble, you have music playing, that sort of
yeah.
that sort of stuff. So it's like which one is Santa Fe?
Second Street is my personal favorite up in Santa Fe. The reason I really like the patio at Second Street, especially in the summertime, it reminds me a lot of Germany. And I lived in Germany when I was a kid. I've been back since. It just has a very German feel. I know that their brewer is kind of, you know, he's very heavily influenced by, like, the English style of brewing. That's why you've got a lot of, you know, Rod's Best Bitter. You've got ESB on tap almost all the time, which is rare for a brewery in this state. But there is a very German-style feel to it, and the Germans always tend to – Germans don't drink beer quickly. They sit, and they sip, and they enjoy. And I think you go to Second Street, and you kind of get that vibe at the original location.
Yeah, all these breweries aren't really places that you'd see a frat boy going just to pound drinks.
No, I don't think you'd ever see them pounding drinks. They still show up sometimes. there tends to be a bit of a bro – element that particularly will show up at Marble, but it usually depends on the music in the summer months. You don't see them there in the winter months as much. In the summer months, it kind of depends on the music. You know, if the music is kind of, I don't know. When I was in college, it was like if you listen to Dave Matthews Band to impress the girls, you know, that was kind of a bro music back then or something.
Yeah, whatever the bro music is now.
I have no idea. I don't want to know.
And then you guys all also you do some of your own brewing, right?
Yeah. Derek is kind of our main home brewer. He was the last guy to join our group. He's also
the biggest kitchen.
Yes, he has the biggest kitchen, and you know he works on film crews around the state. So when in between, you know, filming this movie with Johnny Depp or this movie with Bradley Cooper or Natalie Portman or you know whatever he's doing. We'll often gather at his house and brew something. So we just brewed an Imperial Red and a Belgian Quad, and they are aging as we speak.
And how much do you brew?
The Red came out to about 30 bottles. It was a little less than we had hoped for. But anyone who's ever homebrewed knows that you may go in with the objective of getting this much out of it, but you're going to get what you're going to get. And it rarely ever turns out exactly the output that you're hoping for.
And where do you get that equipment to do home brewing?
In terms of the actual equipment, I mean, Derek has a lot of it himself. I'm not sure exactly where he bought it from, but I know that some of the local stores that cater to that, like Southwest Grape and Grain, don't want to say for sure. It was one of those things where they went to go buy it while I was either at a Lobo game or an Ice Dopes game, and they sent me a bunch of pictures of them, you know, purchasing the goods and purchasing the extra supplies that they needed. So, but I know that they tend to go to the, you know, Southwest Grape and Grain sounds right. There's one or two other places that they'll sometimes go to as well.
Okay, yeah, because I've always wanted to try to get into homebrewing, but then it never happens.
It's a lot of work, and
I work out of our lovely studios here, which is my living room. So work out of here, so I got the time. But earlier we mentioned the next week is Albuquerque Beer Week, and there's all kinds of events all over town.
Yeah,
and what events are you looking forward to?
Well, the good thing is I brought up, we posted a story recently.
he had his phone open right now.
Yes, I do. And
what's that website again?
NMDarkSideBrewCrew.com.
Okay, so go there while you're listening to this. And
yeah.
Unless you're driving, then don't.
Yeah, we'd rather you not drive into a telephone pole. So basically we did a story where we just kind of listed all the events as they stand right now. Everything kicks off on Thursday, April 25th. And we say it's called Beer Week, but it's actually about 10 days long. So they're going to have a kickoff beer dinner at Chama River, but tickets are $60, and the Brew Crew is not a group of wealthy individuals. So one thing we're hoping to do that night down at Marble is Beer 101. That only costs $15. Our reservations are required in advance. And
what's that?
It's essentially like a class you would go to where they're going to give you samples of 10 different styles of beer, small samples, people. You're not getting pints. And it's just a way of helping you understand certain aspects of the brewing process in terms of what are you tasting, essentially, is what they're going to be teaching you. How do you taste the hops? How
it's
you
like,
taste
like
the malts?
Like wine tasting, only it's beer tasting.
Right, yeah. It's basically a beer education class. And so that's going on. I've got to actually go down there and get my ticket. Other events that night, they've got one. It's called Euro Trash Tasting. It's over at the Bird of Paradise, which I believe is off of Gibson.
Yeah, they're off San Pedro.
San Pedro, okay. And
it's the only liquor store that's open till midnight, so I know that.
Aha, very good. Yeah, so they're bringing in some rare European beers that people can try for $15. You get a flight of beers over there. And then Imbibe will be hosting several beer tasting events. Santa Fe Brewing is bringing an unknown beer or number of beers down to that. So that runs from 4 to 7 at Imbibe in Nob Hill.
So it's not just the breweries. It's also a bunch of bars getting involved.
Right, yeah. It's a lot of ways. This is a good opportunity for the breweries throughout the state and then some breweries from out of state to bring their beers to other places too so that, you know, the general public that maybe doesn't want to go to a brewery or doesn't know where the brewery is, they can go to their regular drinking spot, their watering hole, and try the beer and be like, oh, this is really good. I should go up to the actual location and try more of their beers.
Yeah, try go to Tractor instead of having your Budweiser at Imbibe.
Yes, exactly. On Friday, the April 26th, there's up at Sandia Chili Grill, which is one of those places most people probably go, where?
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Sandia Chili Grill is a restaurant. It's located next to the New Mexico Sports and Wellness at San Antonio in Wyoming.
Oh, so right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's behind the McDonald's on the northeast corner. So they now brew their own beer. They brew some very good beers. So you can go there and you can get a flight of beers, and it'll come with a free beer brat. So, you know, you can feel like you're in Germany.
Yeah, so it's just events all over town where everything from, like you said, rare European beers, just
right.
Maybe tasting some of the local brews that you haven't had before.
Yeah, and the one thing they're going to be doing all week is five of the major breweries here in town have gotten together for the second year in a row and brewed up one beer that they've all combined to make. It was called the 5055 last year. I don't know if they're going to give it a new swanky name this year. Last year it was an Imperial Red with a lot of rye in it. So it was a kind of a unique, hoppy, thick, strong beer. You know, it was definitely a sipping beer. No frat boy on planet Earth or any human being on planet Earth could have chugged this beer.
So put your beer bong back in the closet. You're not going
to... Yeah, put your beer bong in the closet and give yourself an hour. Just set aside an hour. Just like, I'm just going to go to Marble, or I'm going to go to Nexus or La Cumbre or Il Vicino, or if you're on the west side, go to Turtle Mountain. Have a seat and just sit there and sip a big, big beer.
So that's something we can look forward to this year, depending on what kind of beer. Have they said what kind of beer they're doing?
The last I heard, and this was a while ago, just talking to some of the different brewers, was they were going to have it was probably going to be kind of a red ale again this year. Probably wouldn't have the rye in it this time around, but we'll have to see exactly what they're going to come up with.
Well, it sounds like this next 10 days.
Yeah, it's
will be a fun time for beer drinkers here in
definitely
here in Albuquerque. And like we said, you can take the train down from Santa Fe.
Yeah, definitely. And the train will obviously bring you very close to Marble. Taxi ride isn't too, hopefully not too expensive if you want to get up to other places.
You can take the bus up to.
Yeah, that's true.
Up to Kelly's, up to
Tractor,
up to Il Vicino.
Yeah.
But, well, thanks for joining us today, Chris.
Okay.
We'll talk about Isotopes next time.
Okay.
You come in.
Very good.
And we're in all my Dodgers gear, everybody, so I'm a baseball fan. But thanks, Chris, and that's nmdarksidebc.com or brewcrew.com.
Brewcrew.com.
Okay, nmdarksidebrewcrew.com. We'll put the link up on the website. And thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
And we're back. I got Joey back in the studio here, and we're going to talk about a story he had in the Santa Fe Reporter. And why don't you tell me what that's about, Joey?
Yeah, so the story is called Free Beer, and I guess it's a play on words there. We're really talking about the freedom of beer from taxation, because both nationwide and locally, there have been movements to basically relieve brewers from the excise taxes they pay. Here, it was successful this session.
Passed both chambers and signed by Martinez.
It passed nearly unanimously. I think Carl Trujillo was the lone vote against it. I think he had some worries about excise taxes or something there. I can explain what those are in a minute. But basically, there's about 20 or so brewery companies in New Mexico. And New Mexico, their state excise tax is one of the, I guess, worst in the nation for this. Once you brew more than 5,000 barrels a year, your state excise tax jumps from 8 cents per gallon to 41 cents per gallon.
So that's five times more for those of you who aren't math majors.
Yeah, so that, to give an instance, Santa Fe Brewing Company, I think that they might be, them or Marble are the largest in the state. Santa Fe Brewing Company gets to about that 5,000 mark, you know, September, I think, and their taxes jump from about 2,000 that month to maybe 10,000. So it's a pretty significant jump.
And then you wrote about one of the brewers that they're right at that 5,000 mark when it got to December, and then they said, hey, we're just not going to sell anymore.
So that is Rio Grande and Sierra Blanca Brewing Company, and they brew a lot of popular beers in this state.
The Green Chili Beer,
the Alien Amber, the Isotopes beer that you get at the ballpark.
Oh, I didn't know they brewed the Isotopes.
Yeah, they all that. He was right at – he had in 2012, Rich Weber, the owner there, had his biggest year yet in December. He's on that 5,000 threshold. So instead of, you know, going over that, because that would have been 5,000-6,000 extra right there out of his pocket, he just kind of stored the beer he was brewing in his garage and waited, or in the brewery and waited, you know, to sell it in January. But another thing to mention here is that when a lot of these breweries ship their beer to another state, and the excise tax here is based on how much you sell.
Sell in the state.
Yeah, in the state. So if you ship out, you're paying the other state's excise tax.
Oh, okay, so if they're getting a better deal in Arizona, they could ship it down to Scottsdale and sell it for spring training.
Right. But a better example of that is Colorado, because their state excise tax is 8 cents on the barrel uncapped. But
and that's probably thanks to Miller and Coors and the other massive brewers.
Well, I'm not sure how – I mean, Colorado also has 200 or so microbreweries, and it's just kind of a big industry there. I'm not sure how that – came about, that low excise tax rate. But on the other hand, it takes a lot of resources and money to just export beer. So, you know, every brewery here is going to, you know, have the majority of their sales in New Mexico. Another point to make is Socorro Springs Brewery. That's just a brew pub, I think, but they're up in Socorro.
They have a good apricot beer.
They actually, and it's highly, I haven't talked to them, but I highly doubt they brew more than 5,000 barrels a year.
No, I'd say it's probably about the same as Turtle Mountain in Rio Rancho, something around there,
but
when it comes to the volume.
Socorro Springs does brew its beer in Colorado, and they said the decision wasn't related to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, to the tax, because they're right along the border, I believe.
I had no idea about that either.
But that's another thing. So let me explain what the New Mexico tax does. Once you get All right. So it's 41 cents. So what the bill that passed did, so once you go over 5,000 barrels, it jumps to 41 cents on the gallon. So what the bill did was change it so breweries between 5,000 and 10,000 barrels a year, that stays at 8 cents per gallon. Breweries from 10,000 to 15,000 barrels per year, that will just go to 27 cents on the gallon. And then everybody over 15,000 goes, you know, 41 cents.
Do you have any sense of how many are over 15,000, if any?
Well, I know that Santa Fe Brewing Company is going to go. They're at about 16,000 right now. They're going to go to 22 next year. But keep in mind, I mean, once they get past that their first 5,000, you know, they're then the next 5,000, they're going to see a significant tax break on that, and then the next 5,000 after that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're, yeah. So they're even though they're going to be – so the – okay, so right now they're paying – so right now they have 16,000 gallon – or 16,000 barrels, is it?
Yeah.
16,000 barrels, and then they'll be getting a significant tax break from 5,000 to 10,000 gallons,
and even to 15,000.
Even to 15,000,
because that about cuts it in half. So and they are manager over there told me she's going to hire two new positions, and she wasn't sure that this would be possible without this tax break that passed. But the other complaint on the other side is, we have more microbreweries and brew pubs in the country than we've had since the late 1800s.
Yeah, so just nationwide.
Yeah, and even in New Mexico.
Exploding in popularity.
Yeah, in New Mexico, when we go brewery per capita, it's 13th in the nation because of our small population. So that's pretty high. I mean, that's in the upper half.
These are all, I guess, you know, if we're going to couch it in jobs numbers, these are all local jobs.
They are local jobs. So about nationwide, the craft beer industry employs about 108,000 people.
And I was just looking at the numbers before the podcast, and like the total money nationwide is $200 billion nationwide in beer sales.
Right.
And of that, 6% is craft breweries. So that's...
So that's still pretty small in the consumption.
But yeah, so your Anheuser-Busch's, your Miller Coors, that's 90% of the industry.
But the absurd number of breweries right now, it's over 4,000. I can't think. It's in my article. It's a lot. So the number of these breweries, you know, vastly outweigh the number of large-scale industrial breweries like Anheuser-Busch and Bev.
And you pinpointed this as, well, you and others have pinpointed this as, you know, Jimmy Carter, right?
So this deregulation in beer, a milestone is the pro brewery people describe it, is in the late 70s when he legalized home brewing, because home brewing was illegal. And
was it illegal after Prohibition?
I believe that this... A lot of these rigid laws dated back to Prohibition. They're kind of left over from Prohibition. So another thing that Chris Goblet, who's the executive director of the New Mexico Brewers Guild, has pointed out about all these taxes is that they were pretty much set back in the 70s when you had about 40 or so breweries in the nation and home brewing was still illegal, and you got all this left over from Prohibition, long before there was this blossoming industry of craft breweries. And that's why they're trying to relieve the taxes. Now, but the argument against this is we have so many right now, and, you know, its growth can only go so far, because a lot of these breweries depend on staying small.
Because of these excise taxes or just
no, I mean, just like, so Nexus Brewery, for, you know, he wants to expand to two more locations, but these, you know, he doesn't produce, he doesn't bottle and sell his, you know, beer. You can't buy it at a store. A lot of what makes his business successful is kind of having this brewery for people to come into the community and, you know, talk and enjoy like a mom and pop store. So I think in that sense, a lot of these breweries kind of depend on that. One reason for its explosion in the past 10 years is you mentioned Anheuser-Busch and Miller Coors. And I have this in my article. Anheuser-Busch was bought by a foreign company.
InBev.
The Miller company was bought by a company in South Africa. So kind of these standard American beers are now global beers. And a good alternative and a higher quality beer is your guy down the street who's got his own brew pub.
And then they know this, so they start putting out stuff like Blue Moon, which looks like it's a craft beer, but it's not, or Shock Top.
Those owned by Anheuser-Busch. So you see these large-scale breweries also getting into craft brewery, calling it crafty beers.
Yeah, they call them crafty beers because they're tricking you, basically.
But getting back to, you know, the argument, and Jordan Weissman wrote this in The Atlantic, these breweries, this growth in breweries can only go so far, because the demand in beers has to keep up with the amount of, you know, the sales basically has to keep up with how the breweries are growing in volume. And when you have so many to choose from, he's basically saying eventually something's going to give. And second off, why would you put a tax break on an industry that is already growing fine on its own? So that perspective is tackled in this article as well.
And it's always... It's some of the few tax increases that are popular are the so-called sin taxes.
And I wanted to talk about excise taxes, because that's a lot of what excise taxes are, sin taxes. And they're hidden taxes.
Well, and the theory there real quick is just that these things are, it's what's harmful to you. Drinking beer is not good for you.
Yeah.
Smoking cigarettes isn't good for you. So then these goes towards, say, like healthcare costs for that.
Yeah, so a lot of the excise tax is supposed to go to DWI prevention, alcoholics abuse prevention, all of that. That fund has been raided, and that's a whole other story. But I think that was, when we talk about Representative Carl Trujillo, that was his reason for voting against this. But the excise tax is basically a tax that's hidden in the price. When you buy a beer and you get a receipt, you see a sales tax is separate, you don't see excise tax. It's hidden in the price, and the producer has to take it on and try to, you know, regain it in his sales.
And that's on every beer sale, like packaged liquor and on tap.
Yeah, and also, I mean, in the excise tax, a lot of businesses don't even pay it because it is kind of the sin tax, and it's tobacco, alcohol, but it's also gas, plane, airline tickets. But a lot of businesses don't have to pay it, so that's what these brewers say. Hey, wait a minute, like, this is unfair. Most businesses don't have to pay this, so we should get a break in it. So that's where they're coming from.
So they're saying they're growing in spite of these excise taxes.
Yeah, and the side that argues against these tax breaks is say, and that you need to have a really good excuse to actually have a tax break. So that the beer can only grow so far. So that's kind of where all this is coming from. But we do see locally that, you know, Santa Fe Brewing Company is going to be able to grow.
I'm sure Marble, La Cumbre.
But the one you mentioned before, Rio Grande Sierra Blanca, he didn't crack 5,000, intentionally stopped. This year he's planning to do 7,500 barrels.
And I'm actually kind of surprised that he didn't crack that many, considering, you know, Isotopes, you see the Isotopes beer at Isotopes Park.
Right.
You see Alien everywhere. It's probably the most recognizable logo.
Right.
Many of them. So you can read all about this in Joey's cover story this week, the Santa Fe Reporter. What's that called?
free beer.
So free beer. Free beer. Pick up the paper that says free beer, and let's hope nobody steals these ones.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for us this week here on the Weekly Word, all about beer this week. So I'm Matthew Reichbach, editor of New Mexico Telegram. That's nmtelegram.com.
And I'm Joey Peters at the Santa Fe Reporter, sfreporter.com. You can also read Matt's Morning Word there every day.
And we'll see you guys next week.